Now, you're very welcome back to the programme. This week on the 9 till noon show, in association with the DLDC, we are showcasing business, celebrating Donegal's entrepreneurs. We'll spotlight the entrepreneurial spirit that makes Donegal unique. We're excited to feature these incredible businesses sharing their stories and showcasing how they've contributed to the local community. And you can also stay tuned to our socials, where we'll feature promotional videos showcasing their unique services. Carl McHugh and Patrick Gallagher are from KP Performance Coaching. Good morning to you.
Morning, Greg.
Thanks for having us. How are you all getting on?
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
It's great to have you with us. Kira Martin of Kira Martin Digital. Hi, Kira.
Hi, how are you?
Good to see you. And we also have Donna Campbell, Learning and Enterprise Manager with DLDC. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Greg.
Right, talk to me about the DLDC's role in I suppose, supporting and engaging with, you know, entrepreneurs, businesses, I suppose, helping them get off the ground, helping them grow.
Yeah, so I suppose what we try and do is create opportunity to allow people to come in and explore the idea of becoming self-employed in a very non-pressured environment. You know, the idea is that somebody can come in and speak to us in a one-to-one just to explore and ask questions and, you know, not necessarily with committing at that stage, but just to find out more information as to see what supports are available to
them. So flesh it out really with an independent party. I think I always find that would be the valuable part of it. One of the valuable parts of it.
That's it. And it can start off as a one-to-one just to explore, as I said, in a non-pressured way. And then we can kind of follow up then with other things that might be suitable. So it could be mentoring, for example, or maybe helping with accessing additional training or just seeing what their goals are and what they would like to do and then just help them achieve that.
Kira Martin of Kira Martin Digital, talk to me about your business.
So I'm a freelance digital marketer. I build websites for small, medium enterprises, and I work on SEO, social media management, and all things digital. I help with branding for small businesses as well. My background is in Irish luxury fashion. I worked with Triona for 3 years. They have sister companies, Holly and Evie and Sleevely Cliff Centre, and I was the digital management of all three businesses for 3 years, and then decided to branch out on my own this year. I've enjoyed the challenge of working with different clients and expanding my portfolio.
What was that like, though? Because you probably had the relative comfort, right, of employment.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always think it's incredibly brave, right, to someone says, right, well, there's something there that's sustainable. It's I know what it is and blah, 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 blah. But then taking the step into something that there's no necessary guarantees. Now, you can have huge faith in yourself, of course, which I'm sure you do, and the support that you enjoy. But it's that step that I think would hold me back.
Yeah. So I have a degree in business and marketing, and I've always wanted to work for myself. But for a long time, I was waiting for this like Dragon's Den idea in terms of like a product that I was going to, that's my business and I'll know how to market it. And then I realized I'm not a product-based person. I'm a service. And that's how I was going to start my own business.
And can you do it remotely? In other words, you know, is your effectively client base the world for all intents and purposes?
Yeah. So I work remotely. My clients span all over Ireland at the minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could span internationally if needed.
And I suppose you can't really enjoy going on the internet, can you? Because if it's not client companies, you would instantly see with your experience what's working, what's not working, how the business could grow. How important is our presence in the digital space?
I think it really came into play in 2020. As we all know, there was a pandemic and a lot of businesses were forced online. I think my business now also is great for a lot of small businesses were forced online in 2020 and then they just went online and didn't do much after that. I kind of come in and I help them improve their website, their user experience and their social media management to try and like bridge that gap between was forced online and now how to improve my business online.
Yeah, I go online and I see there's a couple of things. Firstly, you're online anyway, I think, if you're a business one way or other, be it through Google reviews or whatever it might be. And a lot of businesses have no control about that. There's outdated information. And this could be from a takeaway to a clothes supplier. But I just see that, you know, try have a bit of ownership of that space because you're there anyway. But also, too, if I go onto a business page, and it's just a few, it's a holding page, a few generic pictures, I can't go through stock, I can't buy it. It's incredibly disappointed. And I will go to their competitor who provides that type of stuff. So if you're not in that space, you truly are at a disadvantage. There's no ambiguity in that anymore.
No, definitely. You are missing out on sales if you're not online. But I do think you can be online without strategy, and that's probably worse off, where I come in and I can either take over your social media accounts, or I can build you a strategy that is manageable both for your business and for your online presence.
I'll come back to you because I want to talk to the gents here, Carl McHugh and Patrick Gallagher. Carl, I'll start with you. What is KP Performance Coaching?
KP is, it's everything. It's everything for fitness levels, for youth, adults, whatever. We do soccer coaching. We do PT sessions as well for everybody.
This is a business model, I presume, a business model that you have created, right? Because there's no template for this.
There was no template for this, especially for the youth. Like, normally under 16s can't really go anywhere to do anything, strength and conditioning. And we started a graduation program for them.
Yeah. And Patrick, when did sort of what is a passion obviously become evident that it could be a business?
Well, myself and Carol have been working together for the last 15 years ago, coaching voluntarily with Drumbar United. And I suppose over time, the one thing that we noticed is kids, particularly in soccer, kids were going to their soccer trainings, they're getting 1 hour contact time with their coach, and it was all skill-based. And then there's a lot of dropout in kids as they come to get into their later teenage years. And we think that the dropouts, we believe the dropout is because there's a lot of failure. They're not fit enough maybe to last an hour or last 90 minutes of a football match. So we've kind of
bridged that gap.
We're trying to bridge that gap. We're trying to become a buddy to football coaches or football clubs. Where we can give the additional resistance training and strength training to kids and even adults as well. We're working with Riffo Town there at the minute, doing some maximum aerobic speed training, and that Riffo's absolutely flying.
Is this the boxing club, is it?
No, it's a soccer club.
It's a soccer club, right, okay, yeah. All right, okay. And that is about percentages then, isn't it? It's about squeezing the extra percentages out that transfers then into performances on the day.
100%. Yeah. It's the evidence is there, even now with Riffo were a really well-run club up there, and they brought us in for their senior men, and their senior men are absolutely flying at the minute.
Carl, how has DLDC helped?
Massively, massively. Only four of them. I don't think we could have branched out and did this.
So what was it, supports? Is it advice?
It's everything. Supports. When we went in first with them, we contacted them and they brought us in, had a good chat with us. And it kind of branched out that we seen that we were able to do this then with the help of the DLDC.
So that sort of support or encouragement or sort of validation, that's very valuable then, isn't it? That they say, actually, you know, this is a
100%, 100%. Because like I said, I don't think we would have branched out ourselves and did this without them.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay. And from your perspective, Kira, I don't think I asked you, how did the DLDC assist you in the transition from employer to self-employed potential employee?
Well, as my business name suggests, I'm a one-woman show, so it was nice to have someone to give me feedback on my business idea. Obviously, I've done a lot of like business plans and marketing in my degree and in my work previously, but there was a lot of steps that I really did need the help with, and thanks to Pauline and DLDC, who guided me along the way and supported me into the starting of my own business.
What's their website like?
It's actually good, yeah.
Donna, I think what we're seeing here is, firstly, three amazing business people, right? But, you know, I'm trying to find some crossover here other than the lads' social media pages or what have you, but, you know, this is very wide-ranging support from a one-woman entrepreneur to two lads, you know, one in the digital space, one in the physical space. You know, they're wide in the spectrum there.
Yeah, that's it. And to be honest, the range of different businesses that I've seen over the years, like it is nearly anything. You can come in with any idea and we'll explore it. And I think what gives people the confidence is I think people are more afraid of the unknown sometimes. They're, you know, it's just to kind of sit down with somebody and kind of tell them all the things that they need to watch out for or be aware of, and then, you know, come up with ideas as to how that they can actually cope through that. The idea of, as you'd mentioned, there being a one-man band sometimes, it's, you know, how are you going to manage all the different aspects of your business? And we'll just explore that with them. And it's not that we tell them how to go in a certain direction, but it's they come up with the answers then.
And then they say, oh, well, actually, your vision of doing it that way functions. But we've teased it out.
You know, we
can see. And I suppose, too, Carl, like, you know, we have the lowest sort of incomes in this county, and to address that sometimes I think we're going to have to do it ourselves, right? Yeah. And that is, you know, backing ourselves, backing our business ideas, seeing what we can create ourselves, finding a space there that can be plugged. That's what yous are doing really there, you know, yous are the masters of your own destiny.
Yeah, well, look at it again, we're starting from nothing, we're starting from scratch. We took a chance, there's a couple of other gyms in Donegal town, so we wanted to stick kind of
Yeah, all right, okay. That's Rafo Club there. We'll be back to you in a second, guys. Is that Paradise City?
Yeah.
Who puts a... Can I just ask a question before we go? And I think DLDC needs to get involved in this. Who has a ringtone anymore? I remember I used to pay for ringtones.
Yeah,
that was a business idea, right? Now everything's on silent.
It's all free.
Yeah, all right. So he'll take you to Paradise City when he's finished this interview in a sec. Where we were at, you were saying there's other players in the market, right?
So yes.
Again, so, could be, if you were that way and thinking another negative as to why you might step in there.
You see, I think we had to find a niche where nobody else was touching that market for us to step into
to fill, really.
To fill,
it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, so what is, I want some talk about the businesses as well. So just in other words, say you're speaking to potential clients, you know, who do you work with? Is it individuals? Is it clubs? Maybe, I don't know whether which one's the brains and the brawn, or maybe you're both. You can share it amongst yourselves. But, who could you work with out there, and what would you bring to the party, and how can they get in touch?
Well, I suppose our strength coming into this was always going to be in the soccer area.
Yeah.
But we're open to the general public. We're open to other clubs. We've had Irish dancers contact us. They're going to start with.
That's interesting. Isn't it?
We didn't see that coming at all, but it's fantastic. So there's a group of Irish dancers coming to work with us for lower body strength next.
That's
Monday.
What I'm saying. So you can tailor that then.
Right. We can work with that. So basically, it's not just soccer clubs. We were in talk with a Gaelic club there as well, but that didn't work out, which was disappointing. But I suppose in business you're going to get that. We've just got to find a way, and I think we've just got to kind of find our place.
Feels like a business that will grow with the sort of organically the word of mouth, the results, testimonies, as well as you are doing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But that's the proof of the pudding when you start having league winners.
The good news stories are going to help us as well. Yeah. Like we've had a couple of them already. In the gym, we've had one lad that come into us, and he's on our fitness graduation program, and he came in and he was low in confidence, low in fitness, low in everything, and his mother basically dragged him in the door on the first
good
week.
Good mom.
He came in, he took part in that session, and he's been coming back two or three times a week ever since, and he's bouncing in the door, and he big smiles on his.
But I mean, you can tell yous are in the right job, because that's the story that excites the two of you, isn't it? Yeah. And that's only one story, right? Yeah. That's what yous are doing for. It's brilliant. And how is it? KP Performance Coaching? Just search it, or Facebook page?
Facebook.
Or?
Facebook. We have website as well.
Website as well. There.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Oh, Kira.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, listen, we're talking about Kira and her business now. Because Kira, I mean, you've got, I presume, you know, you've established. I mean, you go in and every client gets the individual treatment, right? But you've got your blocks if you know what works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose I have experience across not just digital marketing, all marketing, PR. It is tailored towards e-commerce at the minute. But as my business grows, I actually am reaching out to different business models and expanding what I know and what I'm learning.
Yeah, and your growth is exponential. I mean, you just don't know where this could go, right? It's working really well, and on long may it continue. And we're going to get a sense, Donna, over the course of the week of, you know, the success of business, celebrating the business, I think, in the first instance, but also highlighting the important role DLDC plays, not only in these guys' lives, but that those services are there for others.
It's really just, I suppose, for anybody that might be listening that has some sort of an idea or an inkling of an idea of something that maybe they've enjoyed. It could be a hobby that they've had and there might be an opportunity maybe there. And it doesn't always have to be a business either that you're going to think you're going to do full time. This might be something that you're going to do part time to supplement your income. It could be something that you would like to scale. Mm. But it's just to let people know that there is support there for them, both kind of within a mentoring space, but also potentially grant income there as well. So it's worth coming in just...
And does that work in the space sort of to someone goes, well, what happens do if I've been employed and I want to sort of start my own digital company? Do I become a sole trader? How does that work? The tax implications, stuff like that. Yeah. Do you assist with that sort of the mundane but incredibly important?
Absolutely. We look at all the compliance things as well. Yeah. So who you need to register with, what the timelines are, what returns you would have to do. But again, it's not just about giving support to somebody at the very start and then launching them and leaving them to it.
Yeah.
We're very much there for the growth phase of their business as well. We encourage them then to join networks so that they have a team of people around them, their peers that have started businesses around the same time as well. So it's about growing that within Donegal.
And Pat, Carl, just on that note, does then that feel a little bit like a safety net then, that you know they're there if you need to sort of bounce something off them? Or
oh, definitely. Like we have been dealing with Pauline Cannon and she's been fantastic. You just, if you need anything, you just call her. And she's always emailing out about workshops and everything like that we can join in for tax and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, the practical stuff.
Yeah.
All right,
no,
brilliant.
Very good.
Listen, well done. That's KP. That's Carl and Patrick Gallagher from KP Performance Coaching. And we've also been speaking to Kira Martin from Kira Martin Digital, and Donna Campbell, Learning and Enterprise Manager with DLDC. And the last message to you, you know, I mean, this is, you can't get a better endorsement than people that are there. You know, you've been there with the beginning, you're there in some cases, but you're there with them on the journey. And that valuable information, that chase up emails about courses or networking opportunities, Donna, and it's all there for other people. And is it a case sometimes too that maybe even that initial conversation is this, well, that is a hobby and it's not a business? I mean, I'm sure that's not that doesn't happen all that often, but I mean, you know, maybe sometimes people want that independent
honesty,
yeah.
Well, I think that's about having conversations as well as to what people's goals are. You know, if it's something that they want as a full-time income from it, we'll have to explore that with them to see whether that business can actually generate that for them. But sometimes it might be just about supplementary income. So everybody's very, very different as to what their goals and what their aspirations are. But it's just really about sitting down and having those conversations with them and seeing if that business has the potential.
Okay, brilliant. And Kira, if someone in business or influence needs to be on one social media platform, which one do you think it is?
It depends on what the business is.
I
couldn't answer that. But if anyone is looking to get online, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and my website, kiramartindigital.com.
All right, there you go. That's how you do it, lads. Yeah. I'm trying to drag your Facebook page out of you.
You better start following us there now.
I will indeed. Don't you worry about that. Well done, Kira. Well done, Carl, Patrick and Donna Campbell. And how do people get in touch, Donna, if they want any more information?
Website dldc.org, and you'll find the phone numbers then for the Letterkenny Donegal on Ghidorah office. You can actually meet us then in one of the offices, or we can come out to see you if transport's an issue for you as well.
Right.
Try and make it accessible.
Well, brilliant. Okay, thanks so much. Really enjoyed that. We'll be back with more after the break. Now, as we heard a little earlier on, a priest in the west of Ireland has appealed to people to start posting comments such as "he's in a better place now" or "she's at peace with the angels" when sending condolences for their loved ones who died by suicide. And I understand that this is a very difficult topic because, unfortunately, there is a high prevalence of suicide amongst young and middle-aged and older people as well. And I suppose we have to explore everything surrounding this that might in some way maybe completely eliminate, that's not going to happen unfortunately, but reduce the level of suicide. We're blessed to have on the show Father James Sweeney, who's a parish priest and founding councillor of Tabor House. Good morning, Father. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
As I say, you know, no one more than you recognise the sensitivity of this issue, but your fellow priests of the view, words are very important and we have to choose them carefully. Would you agree with him?
Well, I'm not sure what context now he was speaking in, but generally speaking, suicide, as we know, is a very sensitive issue, and I think words are important. And sometimes it's not to sometime later, maybe after a conversation or a post has been made, people can read all kinds of things into words. So I think they're very important. And so far as one can be careful and sensitive, I think that's what I would be saying.
Do you think that we as humans don't necessarily know what to say in these circumstances, and we communicate more online than we ever did, and there are some stock phrases that we lean on? So in other words, there's not as much intent as one might think when typing something out, that sort of makes the act of suicide has left the person in a better position than they were previously.
Well, suicide and people dying by suicide, it's an extremely difficult issue, and it's probably even more difficult, Greg, to understand. But I think, as I said, there are words and the words that we choose and what we put up online. I think we have to be very careful, because people who maybe those, and I know we do a lot of stuff online now, and sometimes maybe we put up messages maybe in the spur of the moment, or maybe without adequate reflection, and maybe if we got time to reflect, we would choose our words. So you know, I think the message is important, but the wording in the message is equally important, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was sort of trying to give an example earlier on, and I was talking of young people, and, you know, and I sort of suggested that for most people, the older we get, the more we sort of try and we understand our mortality and the consequences of death and the impact it might have, and we will do anything almost to hold on to life. But I think, you know, if you're 16, 17, 18, 19, maybe, you know, that hasn't really landed with you. And often, you know, we see guards of honour, which I understand and I'm not critical of, and it's very respectful. But then, you know, someone who is vulnerable might see this outpouring on social media, almost a glorification, but also to a sentiment expressed that, you know, that you're flying high with the angels, or you're at peace now. You know, the terms that are used. I would have a concern that could potentially influence a young person inadvertently. No one would do it with intent, one way or other. Or am I over amplifying that potentially?
Well, I think you expressed your words there very well, Greg, and you can see the difficulty, for example, sometimes that churches or undertakers or family or whatever have, because while guards of honour, of course, can be very respectful, you know, I've often heard people saying in the past, well, you know, look at the send-off this person gets. It's a glorification. Now, I'm not saying that, but that's what sometimes has been said to me. So it's trying to walk that line and saying to people, you know, look, the dying by suicide is a final act. It's very serious. So I think we should avoid the glorification of it, but you know, people wanting to respect the dead, their friends gone before them. But, you know, I think we need perhaps just to remind ourselves, you know, that guard of honour or whatever, that you're gone, and that you're gone and won't be coming back. You know, that there's a finality to it, I think, perhaps, that people don't think about. And, you know, the people and family and friends and relatives that are left behind then to carry that, you know, the deceased is gone, but there's a lot of people hurting and bereaved, you know, so we really have to be careful.
Yeah. And I think, too, I suppose, if we view it as how we might handle or comment on a death that's not a death by suicide, there are, in many occasions, comments or acts that are almost exclusively if someone dies by suicide. And I think that maybe is a red flag as to how you might respond to something, because it separates it out and in some cases actually almost elevates the response or the service beyond if someone died another way, if that makes sense. And maybe that's the sort of reflection that we can have to make sure that we aren't, there isn't sort of a hierarchy of how we die.
Yeah, death, you know, I've been, I suppose, nearly 40 years now dealing with death and bereavements and all kinds of deaths. And, you know, you talk there about, a death by, you know, a person who's lived a long life, and a death by suicide, or as, you know, it's all death at the end of the day. And, I mean, if you lost your granny at 90, you know, that's a huge loss. Now, if somebody dies by suicide, that's equally a huge loss. I suppose when your granny dies at 90, for example, it's one thing, there's an expectation. Sometimes when deaths, unexpected deaths or deaths by suicide, in most cases, I think we would say they're not expected. So there's a greater element perhaps of loss and shock and disbelief. And it takes, I think, years then to come to terms with that. Whereas if you're expecting somebody in your household after an illness or old age, I suppose we can look at death slightly different. Mm. Whereas if we're talking about death by suicide, I think it's just the people, you know, it's unexpected. It's for most people, I think it's just an absolute devastation and shock. And that's when it becomes even more difficult to get words of comfort and support for people.
Father Sweeney, and I hope my words aren't misconstrued in terms of attributing blame or anything along those lines. I'm just really at this point trying to figure out how we talk about this and what we can do best to limit those that die by suicide. But I just wonder, in terms of younger people who might make a decision in the spur of the moment or perhaps even consider it, would it be inadvisable for us to discuss that maybe we're very reactionary in terms of suicide sometimes, that we maybe talk to younger people about the consequences beyond what we're doing now, in terms of maybe, you know, maybe trying to remind people the impact that this might have on people that they love, or how long the impacts of their passing could have on a mum or a dad, for an example? Or would that be too much of a burden for the young mind and could end up being almost a trigger? I'm just trying to tease out if there's something else that we could be doing or having a conversation in a way that is constructive and prevents suicide.
Yeah, I think we need education and we need awareness, I think it would be particularly useful now. It would have to be very carefully delivered, but whether it would be a day on mental health or making choices, I think it would be very useful, because sadly, you know, if you can get to people in time, or people can come for help in time, I've good bit of experience in this field. I find if you can get people to come in time, and young people, then it can make a huge difference because very much you can help them to maybe plan, to look forward. You can maybe journey with them a bit. And what may have seem a crisis at the moment, that burden lightens. And, you know, they see a road ahead. But sometimes when the mind closes, Greg, and we're just probably incapable of thinking clearly, I think that in comes problems. But I think definitely we could do a lot more. I think a lot of people never maybe, a lot of people, and particularly maybe younger people, as you say, like at 16 and 18, we look at things. And when you're in 50 and 60, you look at them a lot differently. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of programs in schools and particularly in secondary schools or maybe universities. But I think it's last Saturday.
Well, we never talk, Father.
Just
to catch you on that, pick you up on that, if you don't mind. And again, and I would love listeners to say if I'm miles off or whatever, we talk about it's good to talk. We talk about the supports that are there. But we don't talk about, as far as I know, and maybe you'd be privy to, we don't talk of, it seems, have a frank conversation with young people about the personal consequences and the consequences on others of suicide. Is that the, am I saying the wrong thing? Am I being insensitive?
No.
I'm just saying we don't seem to want to talk to them about the consequences, the finality. We talk about what's there, the support and the good, how important it is to talk and what might cause suicide. I just think there's maybe a gap there to help prevent some of them by actually talking about the literal consequences and the impact their passing might have on those that they love the most.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think if we could get some way to this, you know, as I said, it's a death in general, Greg, and death by suicide is a difficult issue for most people, not just for young people. But I do think we need that needs to be addressed. And as I said, just last Saturday, I was doing up in Drummondtown doing a course, a one-day course called Understanding Suicide. And I think we need to develop something like that to get people maybe to reflect, to think, because I think most people, you know, their mind kind of closes down. They're not in a position to think clearly, I think, most of the time. And I think that is, you know, mental health in general, and particularly the difficult topic of suicide, I think we could do a lot more. There's no doubt about that.
Thanks for all that you do, Father. We appreciate your time. That's Father James Swinney, a parish priest and founding counsellor at Tabor House as well. And just to, I'm so conscious that it is such a sensitive subject, but also I'm conscious that we have to talk about it, but also maybe even find different ways to talk about it. 086 60 25000. If you want to talk to me or perhaps, you know, talk about what I was talking about. But Pieta House has a 24-hour helpline, 1-800-247-247. You can also contact Aware on 1-800-80-48-48. The 24-7 support, text hello to 50808. And we've got loads of lines here. The only one thing I would say is that if you do feel that way inclined, please understand how important you are to so many people. Regardless what you might think, and any of us would prefer to speak to someone who is not feeling well, not feeling themselves, feels out of sorts, or feels like, you know, what's the point? Talk to someone close to you, talk to anyone, because you will never know how valuable you are, even if you might think otherwise. You are incredibly important. So reach out to any of those numbers or to someone close or to me, for crying out loud. It's happened in the past. I have no issue with that at all. Okay, we'll be back with more after these. Thank you to all of you for texting in this morning and being part of the programme. Hey, by just listening, you're part of the programme, but you know what I mean. A caller says, I totally agree. I had a relative who died by suicide, and I agree that some messages online, while meant in great faith, they're sending the wrong message to the public. Another, when will people start thinking suicide is very sick people instead of looking down on them more to be pitied? I don't really get that. I mean, maybe that's what you encounter. I just see people that everything is motivated by understanding that sometimes we feel like that and that we're all here to try and make you feel better and get any help that you need. Certainly, I get where you're coming from, but that's not the general perception I get anyway. I know a fine mother of a young family went crying for help a few times to hospital and got nothing and she couldn't take any more. So sadly, no longer here. So this needs addressing, the supports indeed. And we had a minister recently announced a facility, €1 million+ annual investment in a facility in Letterkenny that would be very, very useful, hopefully, in situations like that. Back to the election. I can't understand the anti-immigration protesters saying I voted Labour or Sinn Féin all my life. Wrong. They voted for them all their adult life. Now they've let them down. But it's reassuring that at least the trade unions are wise enough not to be sucked into this mindless activity of anti-immigration rioting. The latest event in Basin Lane brings back memories when I used to walk to and from work between St James Hospital and my house in Rialto. I'm delighted, Connolly won, says a listener, but in relation to spoiled votes, Casey got 23% of the vote in 2018, which is even more than the 12.7% spoiled vote. But Peter Casey was a candidate. And, you know, he maybe come off the rails a little bit towards the end. 23% from a candidate come out of nowhere is pretty high. And a spoiled vote's not for anyone. A spoiled vote is literally someone who left the house, went to the polling booth and said, right, this is the protest I'm making. So I think it's much easier to vote for a candidate than it is to spoil your vote. Another caller says the spoilers were right to highlight the few options. What a shame to have so many repeated debates while more candidates would widen the discussion points and we'd all learn more. But I honestly think the media, especially those conducting those debates, have a lot to answer for as well. The candidates can only answer the questions. And it was all about gotchas. And we all know where the Connolly gotchas were coming from and the Humphreys gotchas and over again, the same stuff. Explain how you agree, Greg, that Catherine Connolly owes more to Charlie Ward than Sinn Féin. Disgraceful, Greg. No, that was a comment. I never said that at all. I don't know. I don't have to explain it because it wasn't me that said it. It was a listener that said that. So I don't believe that's the case. In terms of the defective concrete blocks, Charles Ward and Catherine Connolly often sit beside each other in the Dáil. She's backed his motions in relation to that and has spoken out quite a bit, but I didn't even reference that, to be honest with you, because, of course, here locally, Padraig McLaughlin and Piers Doherty would also be back the stuff. So I never said it. A listener said it. I didn't say it. A caller says, Fine Gael unlucky to lose Mairead McGuinness, who would be a much better debater than Heather and used to canvassing a large area as an MEP. Miss Humphreys ran a low energy canvass in Marks and shopping centres. She never visited our Donegal constituency, Bundoran on Thursdays in Sligo, Leitrim. Catherine Connolly was up here twice in the last month, met her at Glenty's Harvest Fair and in the Gwydor 2 weeks later. The Heather Humphreys, though, you know, it was the advice she was getting didn't help her. She was advised, and this is exactly how it works, she was advised to behave like she did in the debates. She would have been advised that hit piece that they did on Connolly, that American-style hit piece, ill-advised. I don't understand. It's the advice she received. I don't think she had a fair crack of the whip, to be honest with you. Agree with the caller who wondered why Sinn Féin didn't field their own presidential candidate after what they termed to be a game-changing announcement. Well, Mary Lou McDonald at the weekend defended that game-changing announcement. The idea being that if they fielded their own candidate, it splits the left vote, right? So you would effectively have Catherine Connolly and a Sinn Féin candidate going for the same votes. And the idea being, whether you believe this is the reason or not, is that if the left as a whole got behind the one candidate and got them elected in a landslide, that would be the game changer. Whereas if they ran, they would be opposing Catherine Connolly as much as they'd be opposing Heather Humphreys or Jim Gavin if he was still in it. Micheál Martin also nominated Gay Byrne for president in 2011. Nothing against him as a broadcaster, but I don't think he did a lot for the Irish people. He'd done a lot for himself. I used to be a Fianna Fáil supporter ever since that. No more, says a listener. A couple, because he took so much time to text in as we head towards the weather. It's a sad day for Donegal and the rest of the country that the likes of Catherine Connolly, who's anti-Europe and anti-establishment, is our president. I support my vote because no candidate represented anything I valued, which is your right, and you're amongst that 6,000 plus. Is Catherine Connolly anti-Europe or anti the direction of Europe? I don't know. Morning, Greg. Congrats to Catherine Connolly on becoming our new president. How about a song, The Galway Girl or The West Awake? Thanks, Danny. Danny, I wouldn't be a cheerleader for any person in politics, so maybe someone else can do it, but it won't be me. Fianna Fáil encouraged their votes to vote for Jim, otherwise they'd lose their poster money. Well, yeah, 250 grand small fry though, isn't it? Hi Greg, let's have a debate on this policy of changing the Irish population through mass migration. Do the Irish people have the right to be the majority in their own country? We're a long way from not being it, but I take your point. And we have that conversation constantly on this programme. Micheál Martin will just use the usual Fianna Fáil ploy to stay in power. He'll secretly promise his ministers and backbenchers with new projects and investments in their constituencies. It always works. But maybe Jim Callaghan might say, well, back me as leader and I'll promise you even more. So nothing is guaranteed. And I think it's just a case of timing now. I think Micheál Martin will want to decide the timing. He'll see what the story is. He'll be meeting with backbenchers. He'll see how this investigation into the selection of Jim Gavin goes, and he'll make his call from there. And I would say he's a very shrewd politician. He will make his own decision whether he thinks he can weather it or whether he decides to go in a different direction on his own terms. Time will tell, because he's got his legacy as well to consider. So there's lots going on. Eddie Margy joins me on the show now. Eddie, thank you for your time today.
Hi, Greg. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good, Eddie. But you're worried about safety in the Lisnennan area. Talk to me about what the experience is like living there.
Well, I'm not really out too much on the road, but it's more the kids. Like, you know, there's a lot of housing estates up here and of kids. And in the evenings there, weekends, they're out playing. And there's just, I suppose, there's just the traffic. There's no traffic calming measures on the road. And there's a lot of speeding cars on the road. It's a dangerous stretch of road. A lot of concealed entrances and housing estates. And it's been used kind of as a way to beat the traffic to get onto Letterkenny now. It's a continuous down. If you're going onto Letterkenny, it's a continuous hull down in. And with a narrow footpath there as you're going onto town, the left-hand side. And the kids be out playing, hey, and with the cars travelling so hard, there's nothing to slow the cars down. Like, so, you know what I mean? I sent in a few photos there.
Yeah, we're looking at it now. The road lends itself to traffic to accelerate and speed, but doesn't, obviously, that doesn't take into consideration that it's a residential area.
That's a problem, Greg, man. It's just, you know, it's, I suppose, speed, like, it's to keep a kid safe, you know what I mean? Like, if a kid steps out in the road or if a kid's on a bike, you know, has a speed wobble, you know, if there's nothing there to slow down the cars, like, you know, it's you know what could happen, like. Mm. But then it's going to keep the driver safe too, like, you know, if there's a couple of speed ramps on there, a few speed ramps, you know, it's going to slow that driver down, so he's not going to be put in that position, you know, where a kid comes out off a footpath and a kid gets struck. Like, you don't want that in your conscience. Like,
yeah, there's a road in the videos or photos you sent where you'd be pulling out of sort of a residential area onto that road. I'd imagine the cars coming over that hill or going up the hill, you know, it must be a bit nerve-wracking. In fact, a lot of the junctions there, any of the houses for that matter.
Listen, hey, like my kids, like I let them outside, I let them out playing. You know, fresh air, that's what a childhood's about, hey. But, like, every time I send the kids out, they play, and they've all wee friends up here, a good gang of kids. All the parents are worried, like, all the parents are feared. You know, the car's travelling too hard. There's nothing to slow them down. Like, you know, it'll save the driver, too, if they just put on some speed ramps if that incident happening. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I've been on to the roads engineers, and I've been getting feedback, like, but it's been going on since 2023, like, that I first raised the issue. you know, and it's just been back and forth. But there's just there seems to be a slowness they put on speed ramps.
Yeah, and the bottom line too is we are seeing collisions. It's only look at this point by the looks of things that it's not been involving a pedestrian or someone on the road or a kid. You know, we know how big a factor speed is in survival rates.
100%. Hey, you know, there's been five or six where cars have lost control, and you know they've hit pillars, hit lampposts, hit the ESB posts. That one actually hit the 60 kilometer an hour actual sign, wiped it out, like left it lying on against the side of the road, like just totaled it, like. So I suppose that's a child or something like that there. You know, there's been a lot of smashes and crashes and near misses on this road. You know, and it's a heavy volume of traffic because a lot of people use it now to go into town because there are melting roads backed up. You know, it's just a kind of new kind of relief road on out of the town.
I know what you're saying. It's not built for it. It's a beautiful stretch of road, but it's not built for traffic at that speed because it's a residential area. And you were there. This traffic effectively has been funneled down past you. It's not your fault. Right, leave it with us. We'll check in with the local authority and see what they have to say, whether it's a council issue or a TI
issue.
Go on.
I was texting because Kieran Brogan's been looking into it and Kieran Brogan's been driving it. And he just texts me. They have a workshop tomorrow on this.
Right.
I suppose there's different areas around the town about, you know, traffic camera measures. So there was an update there, Kieran, just after texting me.
All right, good
saying
stuff.
That there's a workshop on this tomorrow. So.
Okay, well, that's live reaction for you, Eddie.
Yeah.
All right. Look after yourself.
Hopefully, they get it's just
no,
the kids,
chase,
man.
We'll chase them. I know exactly what you're on about. It's worrying. Listen, thanks, Eddie. That's Eddie Markey there, resident at Listen, and we'll find out what comes from that meeting. That's where we leave it on the show for this Tuesday, though. Have a fantastic day, will you? Rejoin us tomorrow morning at 9.